is a question that I want to ask out of this passage of Scripture we've read from the Gospel of Mark, a different account of the life of Jesus. The question that is being asked, and I'd like to ask us, or in our lives today, is who is Jesus? Who is he? This question has been asked over the past 2,000 years or so, with varying answers. Some say that he's merely a figment of our imagination, that he never existed. If you're more historical, however, or perhaps you might say he is a prophet, like our Muslim friend, who recognized Jesus as one of the great prophets. Or some believe that he was simply a good man and a good teacher, like perhaps Gandhi or Mother Teresa. Some say he is a bodhisattva, who is an enlightened one, one who knows what it is to be at peace and one with the universe. And then a number of us will say that he is God. But do we actually know what we're saying when we say those words, or any one of those identities, about who Jesus truly is? So in this passage, Jesus asks actually two questions and not one. We've asked one: who is Jesus? But if you realize, he asks the disciples two questions. The first question is a kind of generic, non-personal, hypothetical, theoretical kind of question. And that is, who do people say I am? Who do other people? What do you hear in your society, in culture, around you, in your villages, where you work, where you play, where you worship? Who do people say I am? And there are multiple answers, just like the ones we gave. In particular, they thought perhaps Jesus was John the Baptist. Others said he was Elijah, the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets. And there's a third answer, just a prophet in general. A guy who represents God and tells people about, you know, who God is. It's a good question for intellectual argument. It's a good question that you can ask in a classroom and then forget when you go home. It doesn't make you toss and turn at night. It's sort of like, yeah, you know, some people say this and that and the other thing. That's great. We can do this anywhere. It's like doing an interview on the street and saying, okay, whatever answer goes, goes. But then Jesus doesn't ask just one question about what people think he is or say he is. He then asks the question that's more personal. He asks a question that doesn't allow you to give a classroom or textbook answer that comes from Sunday school or from the secular school, no matter where you go. Not what your parents tell you, not what your pastor tells you, not what your teachers tell you, no matter what they believe. He asks this question: who do you say? Who do you say I am? Peter gives a really good religious answer, probably a Sunday school answer, or at least one he's deciphered for himself. And that is, you are the Messiah, which is Hebrew for the Anointed One. In Greek, it's the word Christos, or Christ, where we have, you know, Jesus the Christ. It's a title, not his last name. So Jesus, he says, you are the Anointed One. Well, what's he talking about? Jesus tells him that he is right. Now, just to back up a little bit, what does it mean to be the Anointed One of Israel? It means that you not only represent God, but that you are the Savior. That you are the King who is to come. The Anointed One. Like, you know, da-da-da-da-da, you know, that kind of guy. And probably in Peter's mind, you're going to change everything in Israel, well, 2,000 years ago, when the Romans ruled. But does Peter know what he's saying when he says, you are the Anointed One? In the same way I ask the question, do we know what we are saying when we call Jesus whatever it is that we say he is? A bodhisattva, or even God, or even someone who never existed. Do we know? Do we think about that? Well, you see, the problem is that it doesn't really matter until you really meet Jesus. It's okay to talk about someone you've never met in sort of wide terms, like Wayne Gretzky, or, you know, Prince William and Kate, you know, or Usain Bolt. And you can talk about them, and you say, yeah, I think they're like this. But it's only snippets of what we're told, what we're shown on the media. Do we really know who he is? What if one of these people came to us? What if the Queen of England comes to us? And we're Canadian, right? So we kind of... Or those of you American friends, you can get into. What if the Queen of England, or even, you know, pick your president, Barack Obama. But what if the Queen comes to us and says, who am I? To you. It's like, Your Royal Highness. I don't know. You're this old lady who waves like this? It's like, uh-oh, that's not the right answer. Not acceptable. But that's the point. What if someone comes to visit you? Because the question now here is not only who is the Messiah, who Jesus is, but who is God, about his identity. And what if he starts telling you? Because in this very passage, Jesus then goes on to say this. He says, the Messiah, who wears the title of Son of Man, and Son of God, who he is, but Son of Man is an Old Testament title for the Messiah, the Anointed. He says, the Son of Man will be rejected by all the powers that be. The religious, the political, everyone is going to reject him. And then he's going to be killed. And then he'll be raised from the dead. Now, when Peter answered, well, you're the Messiah, I'm sure he wasn't quite thinking that. That you'd be rejected by everyone. That you, I mean, this is the king. This is the anointed one who's going to save all of Israel. And you're going to be killed? Wait a minute, that's not the Messiah I want. And, of course, in the passage, he goes to Jesus and he tells him off. At least he does it kind of quietly. He goes, you know, he takes him aside and says, Jesus, this is stupid. This is not the Messiah I'm looking for. This is not the Messiah who's going to suffer and die. That's not cool. That's not the king I want. And Jesus turns around and says, get behind me, Satan. Now, he's not calling him the devil, per se. The word Satan means adversary. The one who tries to change your mission. The person who opposes the ways of God. And he elaborates, says, get behind me. You who oppose me. Wait a minute, didn't he just call him the Messiah? Because then he says this. What you have in mind are not the things of God. What God wants. What you have in mind instead are the ways of man. Of humanity. You're thinking not in the way that God thinks. So what does this mean to us? Do we know what we are saying when we say Jesus is God? You see, Peter didn't want a Savior who would suffer, be rejected, and die. He wanted a king. And when we say Jesus is God, the question is, what kind of God do we want? Do we want a God who makes us feel good and say, there, everything will be fine when nothing is fine? When there are people in this very moment dying in Syria, or in the Sudan, or in forgotten places when people are being bought and sold for their bodies, when people are addicted, so all kinds of things, whether it be gambling or substances. How about families that are falling apart? How about relationships that disintegrate? Do we want a God who repairs these things, makes us feel good? A God who fits into our own universal understanding and makes us feel comfortable? Do we want a God who's like a genie, who's going to grant us all our wishes? Do you want a God who's going to make us healthy, wealthy, and wise? Is this what it means? for us to follow Jesus, that we have all these things and stay the way we are in our sort of nice middle class-ish kind of Canadian whatever lifestyle? Is this the God we want? Yes, it is. This is the kind of God that the Bible tells us that Jesus is, that comes from the gospel. He is the God who is willing to forgive his enemies and tells us that we must do the same. That we love our enemies. He is the God who raises up the humble, the broken, and the contrite. Those are his friends. Not those who've got their stuff together. God is the God who opposes the proud, the oppressor, and the unjust. God's power revealed to us is not used to control others, to set them free, not to tell them how to live out their lives, but to invite them into his life and his love. And yes, there are ethics to his kingdom and to his life. Yes, there are sins that we have to name. There are darknesses in our hearts that we have to deal with. We have to still lay aside our envy, our pride, our greed. These are not things that God just says, there, you are fine. He says, come. Let me help you take these things, this darkness, out of your heart. He's just compassionate. As much as he is just. God is not the simplistic caricature that we have made him to be. Even for those of us who come from a religious background. He is much more. And so this is the point. The God that we are worshiping this morning, that we sang these songs to and about, the Jesus that Derek is declaring that is his Lord and Savior, is not just an idea or concept that we can manipulate into whatever we want him to be. He is the God, if he exists, and I believe he does, who invites us into discovering him and the adventure that that means. So the question still remains for each and every one of you, those who call yourselves believers or seekers or those who are just here and saying, I don't know. The question that Jesus asks all of us is, who am I to you? Not who people say I am. Who am I? The question that if you really ever encounter him, yet either in passing, mystically, or face to face, or even in scripture, that may make you toss and turn. Because if he is real, if he is true, if he is God, something of a response is required. The question that makes you wrestle with your conscience, your intellect, your past, your present, your feelings. Who do you say I am? And honestly, I've only found one good reply. Really only one good reply to this question or response. And that is, when he says, who do you say I am? The answer is, I don't know. Show me who you are. Show me who you really are. Take from me my illusions, my assumptions, and show me who you truly are. There are some things we do know about him because he says it for himself in scripture, and they might be things we don't want to hear. Well, things that Peter didn't want to hear. I'm going to be rejected, suffer and die. But I will also be raised again from the dead. Is Jesus insane? Is he just a good man? Or is he truly who we say he is? Or who he says he is? That he is not merely just the Messiah we imagine. So much more. He also says these words in the Gospels. When he was asked by his disciples, show us God and we'll believe. Show us God. Just show us. His reply is this. If you see me, you have seen the Father. And so we're continually left with that mystery, and yet we can know Him, truly know Him. I don't think anyone should ever believe or be a Christian. Actually, I don't think you can be one without knowing in the depths of your heart Him truly face to face. Otherwise, you just create an entire religious program around yourself to convince not only yourself, but force others into your way of thinking. This is true whether you're an atheist, an agnostic, or a Christian, or a Muslim. The faith that God brings is not brought at the point of a gun or a point of an argument. But He comes to us. Gently. And I believe Derek's story is going to illustrate this. I don't think Derek's an insane person. and obviously, if you're his friends, you don't think he's insane either. The question we ask them is, why is he doing this today? Why? Why would a person with a brain, why does someone who studies philosophy do this? Why are there people who hear, think, and know, and ask questions? Why do we believe in Jesus? And why would we even go so far as to go into that water, or any water, and say, I am a follower of this Jesus? Why would someone? Well, keep asking. He doesn't have all the answers. I know he doesn't. And neither do I. But he will answer that question. As all of us who might call ourselves Christians must. As all agnostics must explain truly why they're agnostic. As all those who are atheists must truly explain and continue to evolve. And continue to ask, show me. Show me the truth. So, without further ado, I'm just going to give a brief introduction as to what Derek's going to be up about today. Well, I'm going to be up about because I'm going in there with him in the drink. Every person who truly follows Jesus is to be baptized. Everyone. This is not a suggestion or an invitation. Jesus himself says, baptize those who are to follow me. Jesus invites us to receive this rite. And he says, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we might hesitate because of a sense of unworthiness, or that it's extraneous, or that's too much commitment. But that's why we're Christians. I mean, truly Christians. Not just by mouth, but in our actions and our deeds, the way we love others. We are baptized simply because Jesus offers it to all who truly follow Him. Baptism is a symbol of God's grace and mercy, not our own effort or worthiness. When we receive baptism, we are declaring that we are His, and He is ours. It is a symbol of our union with Christ. So in this moment, I'm just going to ask Derek to come forward. He's going to share with us where he comes from.